Dr. Robert Wood, it's a pleasure having you on the air.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, you know, you've got an interesting subject here at the conference, reverse engineering. But you deal in quite a few UFO subject matter topics over the years. I've seen your lectures.
Right. I first started on this subject in the late 60s when my boss actually asked me to predict how the Air Force should get to orbit and back 10 years hence. And so I said, well, just for a joke, I said, well, why don't you tell them how the alleged UFOs do it? And he said, well, why don't you look that up? And so I read my first UFO book on company time.
Well, it's a good way to start. Get paid for it. And you were hooked, I take it.
Right. After I read 50 books, I concluded, hey, there's a problem here. I wound up knowing Jim McDonald very well, actually. Whenever he came to town, I'd take him around and get him to his next speaking.
We've done shows on Professor McDonald, and he was quite the interesting personality.
He kept extremely good records.
And what are you interested in? I mean, you're still active. You know what? You just got married like 4 or 5 years ago or less than that.
5 years ago, June.
I've been checking up on you here.
So when I retired in 1993 from my 43 years at McDonnell Douglas, I was poised, wanting to get into what I knew was going to be the most important scientific discovery of our mankind, and that was to try to figure out how they work. And so I wound up starting because Stan Friedman, who's well known in this community, pointed the way to me to a question document that had been leaked, and this turned out to be the Special Operations Manual, which I authenticated.
And so there's no doubt in your mind that that is authentic material.
Oh, there's absolutely no question. But what is a document that was published by a printing press in 1954? Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not the content was created by some psychological warfare operation of the CIA or not, that's always a question. But the arguments for doing that are non-existent. So the most likely case, I'd say 99 chances out of 100, is that it is exactly what it seems to be, an instruction manual to the troops in the field as to how to recover crash flying saucers.
How many, I know your son wrote, Ryan, he wrote a book that said 73 or 74, Precious.
Well, he's got a new book out called Magic Eyes Only, which describes to varying extents the details of 74 crashes.
74, that many.
Yeah.
What stands out in your mind over the years? Were there survivors of any of these crashes? I'm sure there were.
The thing that impresses me about that fact that there are 74 crashes identified in the book is that that's a larger number than Lynn Springfield gave me when I asked him the question like in 1990. And he said, you know, Lynn, in your opinion, what's the number of crashes you'd say are clearly authentic? And he said, well, maybe 10. But he was way low.
Obviously, from 74 down to 10.
No, Lynn Springfield was the guy who kind of became a lightning rod for people who wanted to tell about their crash observations. And so it was really his stimulation that caused me to get into the issue of what were the broad spectrum of crash reports. And that was a paper at the last conference, really, that Ryan has scooped up and converted into a book.
Now when we talk about the research aspect of this, how difficult, I mean, it seems there's obviously a lot of legwork involved. Are there a lot of roadblocks? I guess there are. People leading you down the wrong path when you start looking at these things, or I'm very curious about how this really works, how you develop a story, you know.
The way it works is people come to a meeting like this, where we are now at the third UFO Crash Retrieval Conference, and they try to get you aside and say, you know, you're not going to believe this, but I've got a story to tell you. And so they give you the card, and you can follow up. These days, of course, you'd follow up with email and a telephone call, but you'd like to get a written record from them as what they really saw or claim they saw. Usually these don't go beyond the I saw this thing at a particular time, because you you try to probe and find out, well, what is the level of detail that they saw? And if it's a light in the sky, and if there's no documentation, I personally don't get interested. Somebody else follows that up as far as I'm concerned. If there's documentation, if there's something in writing, that's my specialty, authenticating question documents. And if it's a crash, then Ryan has got an interest because he wants to keep this subject of crash retrievals current.
You know, over the years, what has changed from your own personal viewpoint about what we're dealing with today?
That's an excellent question, Jerry, because it has changed over the years. If you imagine what we were dealing with mostly in the 60s and 70s, we're talking largely about close observations, an occasional photograph by a still camera that showed anomalous shapes, and even in some cases comparison of shapes that were absolutely identical, separated in some years. Once in a while you get somebody who would say, well, I think I may have been abducted. And then, of course, there was that famous case of the Betty and Barney Hill abduction.
Yes,
but since then, what's been happening is that lots more abductions. Through 1985 to, say, 2000, lots of abductions and abduction books and abduction stories. And interestingly enough, since then, that seems to have dropped off a little bit in terms of the number of people who are...
Not as many abducted reports now, huh?
Yeah, so there's actually trends. And if your question is very good because it's caused me to think a little bit. If I were to try to describe, you know, decade by decade, what was the main focus, I'd say in the 40s it was lights in the sky. This is what the media was talking about, okay, not what was really going on. The recoveries, crash recoveries, were starting at the very beginning, but covertly. But what the conversation was in the 40s was kind of lights in the sky, and then in the 50s, then there were the overflights, you know, the scare over Washington, and in the 60s.
Yes, yeah, I remember that well.
In the 60s, increased focus by the Air Force on Project Blue Book, and then at the end of the 60s to attempt to get out of that with a University of Colorado study, and then there was no government program available in the 70s. So there was a beginning, however, because camera was becoming more and more available.
Yes.
And so in the 80s, now we start to get digital camera reports, and in the 90s and 2000s, why we get video reports. And if you go to other countries, such as Brazil, in fact, at this conference was a good report on the Virginia case.
Yes, yes. We've done shows on that. That's an amazing thing down there.
Yeah. You find that the video cameras are now taking pictures that show up on a biweekly column done by George Filer.
Yes.
Where people, you know, ask, well, what's going on now? All you have to do is to look at Filer's biweekly report and realize that there's probably 10 reports around the world every couple of weeks with great detailed coverage of photographs and videos.
That's definitely true. You know, we do a weekly sightings report using George's website as well as other sightings, and there's never a shortage.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that... Go ahead.
No, that was just the... when I started doing broadcast, and you run across people that are not familiar with UFO broadcast, and I've been doing these for decades, but here in the 2000 era, let's say, in the last 5 years, people have come up to me and said, well, I'm just amazed. I always thought that happened back in the 40s and 50s, you know. And you were going to say something before I interrupted.
Well, I was going to say the thing that has impressed me as a result of my multiple years of study is the way my views have changed on this subject. Initially, there was an issue, really, and I think Jim McDonald wrestled with this issue. Was this a cover-up or a foul-up? And I've changed from the idea of believing that it might well have been a foul-up to the fact that it's the most sophisticated cover-up in the history of man, starting way back in 1941 when, you know, General Marshall and FDR covertly set up the Non-Terrestrial Research and Development Committee during the war. And so this went on at the same level as the Manhattan Project, but without the Manhattan Project's money. And then when the war was over, they got Truman to initiate the National Security Act to provide a place to hide the UFO program. And Richard Dolan, of course, talked about the the four things that are being hidden today, the program, the creatures, the documents, and the money. And that's what's the thing that in my mind is different.
Yeah, because if you can follow the money, you could develop something, but the money's pretty well hidden in these secret programs.
Well, in the secret programs, they've got double layers of black.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on. We're talking about reverse engineering, among other things. I'm almost come to the conclusion that may be one of the bases of the whole cover-up, is there's a lot of applications here for commercial use.
Well, that's right. There were four reasons, in my judgment, for the government wanting to cover it up. First was the obvious one of preventing the technology from falling into the hands of our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is they didn't know whether it would create panic associated with religious or financial, and the third one was to stay out of jail because they were, doing illegal, unconstitutional, unethical acts in order to keep this secret. And the fourth reason is to prevent having to admit our inability to protect our airspace, to explain to the public where they're coming from, why they're here, why they're abducting people, and who's responsible for cattle mutilations, and a whole bunch of enigmatic questions that they don't know the answers to or didn't at the time. So these are a dominant set of four reasons why you want to keep it secret.
Now we only have a couple of minutes left because you have to continue along here. We're going to have to spend a long time together sometime, and we will on the show. But in this final couple of minutes, let's talk a little bit about what is the most overpowering thing about your investigations of this subject over the years. Is it life from other planets or solar systems or galaxies, or is it what our government's doing in cooperation with somebody, or what really stands, what interests you the most?
Well, what interests me the most is the possibility of making a direct contribution to understanding the technology that would improve life on the planet. Because I think if we begin to realize where the energy sources come from that power the UFOs, we may be able to put those into good use of finding a way to get the energy from the vacuum and make it available in the 3x3x3 foot box that was mentioned in one of the earlier papers, so that everybody can have, free power and free energy, and we get out of the problem of relying on gas.
There's so many questions. If we know and back engineered a lot of these things and we're not using them in public, then we're really guilty of malfeasance in many ways and causing death, just for instance the astronauts.
Well, Jerry, I think actually the reverse engineering has been pretty effective, and I believe that there's been a process to leak that technology into the normal society but still maintain a, say, 5 or 10 year edge militarily. So, in fact, that was what Colonel Corso claimed. I'm not sure all of his claims are accurate, but the idea of use of reverse engineering and using it covertly is certainly valid.
You know, before you go, Bob, when you say I'm not sure all his claims are accurate, you're not necessarily calling anybody a liar. It's just this. There's so many layers of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really know. You could be working right next to somebody.
All he specifically claimed that he was asked to find out how the parts in this particular box work. And then given that exposure, then he was asked, well, what do you think about the whole process? And then he started to speculate. Maybe the transistor was a reverse engineered device. But he was not involved in that part of it, and he never made that point clear. So.
Well, I've always felt that, all the computer information, I've never met a computer expert yet that really knows why things work. They just kind of say, hey, that's the way it is. don't ask me that. what are you doing? You got another book or a BDV or just
a couple of books in mind. One of them that Ryan and I are going to publish is an Encyclopedia of Flying Saucers. Actually, it's written by a fellow by the name of Vernon Bowen and given to the Air Force in 1955. His view of what was going on from 45 to 55. And they took it and they stamped it top secret magic and then returned it to our source, Tim Cooper, in the year 2000. So it's sat in some government bureaucratic office all this time. But it's a great book.
Look forward to that.
You can speculate on why the pages are classified the way they are. The other book that I'm thinking of doing is one oriented towards the issue of microbiology and disease, whether or not there is some credibility on the fact that some of the people who handled the aliens, you know, in the crash recovery process may have actually been infected and died, and whether or not our government has attempted to understand those diseases in an important way, both from the point of view of using them as weapons in a bacteriological warfare sense and improving our situation to respond to and resist potential external alien transmitted diseases. That's the scope of the second book. I probably work this book with Nick Redfern.
Yeah, true. As far as subject matters, both of them are, you know, inspiring and very intriguing. I'm interested in the biological thing with the alien infections. I've often wondered about that, just myself.
The documents do show that there are several cases where that appears to have happened.
I enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Okay. Jerry, enjoyed it too.